Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark Esley.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Oh, Doc, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing just fine, man. I can't believe it's already the middle part of January.
Yeah, and it's starting to feel like it, too.
You know, last week we had summer.
Yeah.
Or spring.
Yep.
I knew we're back to winter.
Now it's back to winter.
Oh, man, I can't believe it. You know, we're all going to be sick in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we're not.
Hope not.
Hey, before we get started, have you checked out been watching a little bit of the NFL playoffs?
Yep. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. You don't see the Lions, though.
And that's why, I got to tell you a funny story. Yeah. It's a very true story. So it was past Wednesday. I went to see my doctor. Start the new year, get your health checked and everything. And my blood pressure was down.
There you go.
And it was down significantly.
There you go.
And I know why.
Lions
free.
Don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. All right. We want you all to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee. As I always like to say, as you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship and small business development across the great city of Detroit, my hometown, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because this show does stream nationally via radio.com. And one more time, I will say it anyway, in mid-January, happy new year. Hope your new year's off to a very good start. All right. We got a great lineup of guests. And we're going to start this week with Ms. Cindy Eggleton, who's the co-founder and CEO of Brilliant Detroit, which is dedicated to building kids' success families and neighborhoods where families with children have what they need to be school ready. And we know that we are living in a city, in an area where we have some of our educational public schools are challenged and neighborhoods are challenged, and they're focusing on getting those kids ready for school. So, Cindy, good morning and thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be here. Seriously.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you. All the love. I love it.
Hey, did you enjoy summer the last few days?
Yeah.
All right.
And
all right.
On the way here, I wondered.
I know, that's right. All right, you're with Brilliant Detroit. You're a co-founder of Brilliant Detroit, an organization that expanded from one house with five organizational partners and 50 participating families to seven houses. Talk to us about the organization.
Yeah, so you said a little bit about us. So basically what we do is we go into a neighborhood, we're invited into neighborhoods, and we take a house in the middle of the neighborhood, an underused house. We renovate that house to be like a family center where we focus on the kids and the families, okay? And so what we really do is we bring everybody together and we have programming for kids only. Kids and adults only. The programming is centered on assuring that kids are ready for school, reading at grade level, and families have well-being and stability. Mm-hmm. And so in this world today, in particular in Detroit, there's not a lot of community hubs anymore. And we have found, and the growth is totally related to that, people want something in their neighborhoods, and they want a gathering place where they can learn and grow together. That's what we're providing.
So give us a little bit more background about Brilliant Detroit. How long has it been in existence, and how did you come up with the idea? You're the co-founder.
Yeah, I am. And my other co-founders are Carolyn and Jim Bellinson. And I say there's really two themes. One is I live a fairy tale, and two is I'm old. Okay, so you can see that, but the viewers can't see that. And really, this is a lot of life lessons. My partner, Jim, is a very successful businessman. There is a lot of business modeling that went into this. So we have big problems, not just in the city of Detroit, but really throughout the country.
Absolutely.
But in Detroit, 14% of kids read at grade level by third grade. That is a very, very critical number. And my life has been dedicated to really community, kids, and neighborhoods. And so we wanted to bring a model in place where people would use the services that they could have it that was designed around families and kids. So that was the one thing. We really believed that this was a way to do it. The other thing is, also with 60% of kids living in poverty in Detroit, you need something that can get to scale, not very expensively. So we created a model, I'll talk a little bit about that is inexpensive to run because we have 80 partners in this work with us, as well as something that meets the needs of people that we serve, where they want to be served and how they need to be served. And so that growth, we started just 3 years ago. I did not fully come on board till 2.5 years ago. Here's what the growth was like. The first year, 2016, we ended with 320 people. We had one location. We'd launched three. Today, we serve 4,000 individuals, and we have seven properties. Three will be launched in the next month and a half. And that is entirely because of what's happening in the neighborhoods. And one of my coworkers said it best is, we are certainly working to deliver on the promises of our mission. But what's happening in our neighborhoods that we're seeing is a lifeline, and neighborhoods are healing.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you talk about the neighborhoods. I just wrote a story in Cranes, and it was called Detroit Divide. And it's something, you know, the story that I wrote was focused. There's been a lot of discussion about two Detroits. But the two Detroits have been in the context of not enough African Americans are sharing in economic development and prosperity in downtown Detroit.
Right.
If you go to a lot of restaurants, you know, some people say, well, the new restaurants are all Caucasians and this and that. I didn't want to go that path. My path was, you know, there's a lot of investment taking place in downtown and midtown, which is outstanding.
Right.
And in Corktown, which is phenomenal. But I literally went out with Workroom Communications, and we went out and talked to people and said, share with us your experiences. I grew up in the city. I grew up in Northwest. Uh-huh. But talk to us about what's happening and what's missing. Mm-hmm. So I coined the phrase the Detroit Divide, which meant that the economic resources that we're seeing development are going in specific pockets, but they're not in the neighborhoods. So what you're doing is really expanding the reach in the neighborhoods.
Exactly. So we are, we'll be brother and sister from a different mother. I believe strongly in the power of neighborhoods. We do not say that we empower people. We believe there's power there.
Yeah.
And what we find in the participation rates show is that what people are looking for are the resources, and also they want to give input of what's needed. So we have advisories in each of our neighborhoods. They help inform how this is done. Our hours are set by the neighborhood. So we are honoring the neighborhood, and that is the fairy tale.
How many neighborhoods are you in, by the way?
We have four houses open right now.
Say that, okay.
And we have three that will be open in the next month and a half.
We are talking to Cindy Eggleton, and she's the co-founder and CEO of Brilliant Detroit, and they're doing some great things. In fact, they're doing such great things, and you didn't know this, but I'm aware of most things, but you were just recently recognized.
So yes.
I saw it in Cranes.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And that shows you the commitment that you're doing, what the organization is doing in the neighborhoods as well.
Yeah, it and I really appreciated the recognition. It is built on every person from the neighborhoods. And actually, we have started what we consider a movement because we think it takes all of us, neighbor to neighbor, regardless of zip code, we can all come together for our kids.
Okay. And the motto itself, I know we referenced it earlier, how did it evolve?
Right.
And how are you looking at this from a business standpoint as well?
So business is a very huge part of this. And I think that there's two main things I want to lift up here. I know we don't have hours to talk, right? One is we count everything. Okay, so since this is driven by our customer, they inform, and we really run this like a business. So they are actually, if they're buying the product more or less, which is participating, we know we're doing the right thing. Last year alone, 32,000 hours of programming was delivered, which is a lot. And number two, we designed this where we were bringing in a lot of the best practices and also along with neighborhood and organizational partners. In order to be a partner, you have to have evidence behind what you're doing. So make no mistake, this is based on metrics, right? So we have partners that are delivering a lot of great services. they generally have funding and they don't have enough people. Mm-hmm. So we actually do something that's coordinated and continuous. So the cost per location is about $150,000 a year to run, which is ridiculously inexpensive. And per person on average, we're spending $250 to $275 for a year for each participant. There is nothing like that. And that is because we're doing this with others and we're leveraging everything. And so what this allows us to do is to get to scale. So when you have problems as big as we are, sometimes we're trying to hit that problem with a pea shooter. Mm-hmm. It's not going to solve it. We want this, seriously, I'm not kidding, to change the world. And we are seeing it transform neighborhoods. It starts with the house, then with people and the neighborhoods. So that's how we looked at it from a business standpoint. The other piece from a business standpoint is how we're funded. So 75% of our funding is unrestricted. It is coming from large donors. We have about 80, 90 partners that fund us. And so that also helps us from a business standpoint make sure we're delivering what is needed and what will be used so that we can reach the outcomes. So this is all based on business principles. My co-founder, who is my board chair, asked me every day two things. Where are our numbers? And number two, who's your replacement? Mm-hmm. So all based on really setting this up as a solid foundation because we believe people deserve it.
So here we are in a brand new year, 2019, and as with any business principles,
right.
We're taught to think longer term,
yes.
3 to 5 year strategic plan. Where do you see the evolution of the organization going?
Yeah, long term, this is meant to be a national and international model.
So beyond Detroit.
Yes, and after the, right now, in the next few months, we will be going into Chicago is our first location. This year, we will be opening up 3 more sites. We have 10 sites on our waiting list. Within the next 5 years, we want to totally build out in Detroit neighborhoods where we are needed and wanted.
Mm-hmm. You have a couple minutes remaining here. We know that you have, you're going to continue to grow, you're going to continue to evolve. How can people get involved in the organization? Do you have a central location?
Is
it virtual? Kind of talk to us about
all of the above.
Yeah.
So we need people. It's neighbor to neighbor. It's going to take everybody to get involved. So you can go on our website, which is brilliantdetroit.org. You can go to our Facebook and our Twitter and our Instagram pages. We need volunteers like crazy.
Yeah.
We always need funding and revenue, but where we really need our volunteers. In particular, we are doing literacy efforts. This grade level reading is really important. So we would love somebody to go on the website and look for how to volunteer mm-hmm. or give.
Yeah, we have about a minute or so in closing, but you know, literacy, like you said earlier, is a challenge in Detroit.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been teaching at the college level for several years as well. And, you know, I can sometimes see the deficiencies.
Yes.
You know, and I think it starts at a very young age. And what you're suggesting is get to these kids very young, very quickly. Go ahead. Respond.
Yeah, 90% of the brain is developed by age 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not starting, we say, belly to 8. We're really not able to leverage the power that we can do right up front.
Okay.
So we have programs starting at that point.
Okay. Well, in our closing 15 seconds or so, give us the website one more time.
It's brilliantdetroit.org.
And a phone number?
248-398-8698.
Well, Cindy, I have heard so much about you, the co-founder and CEO of Brilliant Detroit. We appreciate you coming in and sharing the good things about what's happening, beginning to happen in the neighborhoods. We wish you much continued success.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Oh,
truly.
Well, my pleasure. Well, thank you so much. Glad to make it a great day.
Okay, great.
Absolutely. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, here we are. You know, it's a cold, cold day. It's now more of a typical January day. I think we got a little bit spoiled, but, you know, this is Detroit. This is Michigan. It is cold. So, but the good news is, though, I forgot to tell you, man. The Tigers are reporting.
I know.
February 12th.
I know. I already got my trip booked.
I know you got it because you go every year.
Yep, I do.
So, you know, that's a month away.
I know.
And we are now on the heels of the auto show.
That's right.
All right. So this will be the last year the auto show will be held in the Motor City January.
Right.
And beginning next year, it will be moved to the month of June.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think it'll be a lot more... you know, conducive to everybody, you know, to getting people downtown, you know?
Yeah. Well, downtown is hot right now.
Oh, I know.
And we had Murray Feldman on recently, as you know.
Right,
and,
right.
And Murray made a comment, it's going to be like a one-month celebration exactly. Where people can just enjoy the warm weather.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're so pleased to welcome some two very special guests. And as here we are early in the year, we all have a tendency of maybe having a little bit of stress coming out of the holiday season and you know, getting ready for the new year. We're going to spend some time chatting with a couple of dear friends of ours, and they're from Special Tree, Ms. Kate McClain, and she's the Director of Workforce Engagement, and Michelle Cruz, and she's the Behavioral Programming Technician from Special Tree Rehabilitation, which I will have them share with you in a second. Kate and Michelle, thank you for joining me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Happy to be here?
I am very excited to be here.
Good. Well, so glad to have you both. Please talk to us briefly about the organization Special Tree Rehabilitation.
We're one of the oldest providers of traumatic brain injury and spinal cord injury rehabilitation and care. We have about 30 locations in Michigan, and we employ about 750 people. We've been a top workplace since 2010.
Have you really? Top workplace? Is that the Free Press top workplace?
It is.
That's an honor.
We're delighted. And you know why? Our employees are who decides that we're a top workplace. They vote.
That's outstanding. And one of the things that we talked about in the opening comments about this thing called stress, and employees are under a lot of stress. You know, this show is focused on small businesses and entrepreneurs and business people, a lot of stress in our lives. Talk to us about, you know, why is it so important to offer your team opportunities to manage that stress?
Sure. Healthcare can be very rewarding work, but it also can be challenging to take care of other people while taking care of yourself. One way we help our employees with that is we provide them educational opportunities to learn about self-care. Michelle's actually one of our experts in that area.
Well, Michelle, take over. Share with us, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll talk a little bit about stress. It's our body's way of responding to demands that we have. Some of the demands can be from work, they can be from home, they can be from school. Some stress can be good and some can be bad. If we have prolonged stress, it can build up if there's no outlet, and it can cause mental and emotional trauma and illnesses as well. So our art therapy class that I teach at Special Tree is a really good way for staff to connect with each other and to take time to manage their stress in a positive, supportive environment.
And where did the idea come from to harness Special Tree's internal talent, if you will, to care for the employees' well-being?
Well, Michelle's a licensed art therapist, and she's a specialist in behavioral planning.
Mm-hmm.
And she shares her expertise with our workforce. So do a lot of our other therapists. The same great people who take care of our patients help us take care of our employees.
Mm-hmm.
So our CEO, Joe Rickert, believes in using that internal talent to share your passion in your discipline. And it really fits into our culture. We're a Covey-based facility, and we think the best way to learn is to teach.
Yeah. And Michelle, can you give us just a couple of tips that you might share with the employees in terms of managing stress? Just a couple of very basic things that you find to be successful with them.
Of course. When we're talking about stress, there's a couple of things that you can do. You can make sure that you take time for yourself and practice that self-care. And this can include making sure that you get enough sleep and that you get rest, especially after a long day of work. You want to make sure that you decompress and you process anything that you experience during the day. Staying connected with your social network is also really important, as well as taking time for activities that you enjoy.
But, you know, and as it's interesting because technology has changed a lot of things. And I think that technology has brought a little bit more stress because people are always reaching for their cell phones. They wake up in the middle of the night, right, and they look at the phone and they want to see who's emailed them, a text message, whatever the case might be. Is that another way of managing that stress, is kind of like putting that phone away in the middle of the night so that you can sleep, you know, and get a good night's rest?
I would recommend making sure that you put your phone on silent when you sleep so you can get that really restful sleep. You can also make sure that you set those boundaries really well, that you're not taking work home with you. So once you finish your work, you leave work, and you can get home and spend time with your loved ones and your family, and you're not worrying so much about work being home with you.
We are talking this morning to Kate McQueen, and she's the Director of Workforce Engagement with Special Tree, and also Michelle Cruz, who's the Behavioral Programming Technician, giving me some advice this morning on how to manage something called stress, that work-related stress. Yes, we all have it. They've had a very successful program there with working with their employees and sharing with you some ideas on this morning what you can do to manage those types of levels of stress. So professional development, right, in that space. What types of programs do you offer in that space to help people to continue to manage those challenging situations?
In addition to programs like Michelle's Art Therapy, we do therapeutic greenhouse instruction. People love to get in there hands-on. It's a beautiful setting. We also do some classroom instruction. We provide up to 15 hours of paid training to each employee. One of my favorites is when our CEO, Joe, teaches the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He does that with every new hire. And so does our CFO, Jim. He teaches a personal financial management class, and a lot of his work is based on the generic work of Dave Ramsey in the Financial Peace University. We also bring out our exercise physiologist to teach exercise fundamentals. Our registered dietitian teaches nutrition and cooking. There are so many courses to offer. It's a very cool part of working at Special Tree.
And I got to think, you know, when you're dealing with brain injuries, that's got to be very challenging. It's got to be, you know, my daughter works in the ER area for a major hospital here in Detroit. So she tells me sometimes, she says, "Dad, we see an increase in injuries and certain things happening around full moons." I had no idea. I said, "Are you serious?" And she works in the ER room. She said, "Yes, I do, actually." And she said, "We can see an increase in stress levels." It's amazing how certain things drive certain things. So when it comes to brain injuries, why is it important for people who work in healthcare to prevent compassion fatigue, particularly those working in that space? And identify what compassion fatigue is.
Yep. So compassion fatigue is, it can happen to caregivers and healthcare workers who work with a lot of traumatic events. Mm. And this can also occur with people who are maybe first responders, police officers, doctors, nurses, people that take care of other people. A lot of it, you'll see increased stress, you'll see some anxiety, you'll see some difficulty focusing, you might see some self-doubt, a decrease in productivity, as over time that compassion to take care of others just gradually decreases. So we want to make sure that at our company that we take care of our employees, so if they are experiencing that compassion fatigue, that we can, you know, stop it before it gets a little worse.
I always wonder, you know, like when you hear these big news stories and the first responders and some of the traumatic experiences, injuries, and people have to investigate that. I always say to myself, how do they do that? I know it just takes a special person to do that. And I thank you for explaining the fatigue factor, compassion fatigue, because, you know, we want to take care of people so much. And even as a dad, when my kids were young, we would get parent fatigue, right? Doak, you experienced it. I know you have a daughter that you're working with as well.
Yep.
And you've had some experiences with that as well.
Exactly. It's just, yeah, it can be draining. It can really be draining. My daughter has I have three kids, and my youngest daughter has I have a son and daughter, and my youngest daughter has Down syndrome, and it's a difficult task, but you learn to cope with it. And you find the beauty in what she has and how she deals with it on a day-to-day level, and I couldn't be more proud of her.
Absolutely. And when your employees go through the training and these types of programs, if you will, what types of responses do they give back to you?
Oh, they're so quick to say it was like a great investment of their time. They love the opportunity to step away from patient care, but also to connect with each other. It's a great way for people to come together who share the burden and the reward of taking care of others and just, I don't know, decompress and connect with each other.
That's very cool. Other special types of services or the breadth of services offered by SpecialTree include?
We treat all levels of brain care, brain injury, and spinal cord injury, and we do that over 30 locations.
Mm-hmm. And you're located, what's the primary location? Where are you located?
We have a neurocare center at our Romulus location. And we have 4 outpatient clinics across the state of Michigan and about 30 residential homes.
And in this economy, you know, gas prices are down, unemployment rate is down. You're hiring, is that right?
We are hiring. I would encourage everyone to visit specialtree.com and check us out.
What types of jobs are available at SpecialTree?
We have a wide range. We employ entry-level workers, so nursing assistants, direct care providers come to us. Sometimes it's their first job. We help them get their certification if they choose that path. Sometimes they benefit from our tuition assistance, mm-hmm. and they become an LPN or an RN. We employ CODAs and PTAs, as well as physical therapists, massage therapists, speech-language pathologists, nurses, and, of course, administrative staff there to support everyone and our clients.
And, Michelle, we have a minute and a half or so together remaining. I mean, talk to us about your training. How did you get engaged? And, you know, if someone's listening, because you're motivating employees, what are some of the things that you've had to go through to be properly trained?
So I have a master's degree in art therapy, and it's a clinical field that specializes in mental health, using art to help reconcile feelings, help with emotional distress, and to just basically promote overall well-being. And having that background, I come to SpecialTree working in the behavioral realm and also providing those art therapy trainings. I help with the new hire trainings as well, and just having a company like SpecialTree be willing to support my education and my background and be able to put it towards the clients and the staff at the same time is really amazing. But just really coming from my educational background and then all the training that SpecialTree provides.
You love what you do, don't you?
I do.
I can just tell. I'm looking at your face as you're talking. You kind of got that quiet demeanor, but as you're talking, you can just see the passion for what you do. Is she typical of the SpecialTree?
She is. Yeah. Michelle's actually one of our favorite instructors at our Leadership Center in Livonia.
Thank you.
She definitely gets the class going and keeps them on task.
You know, and I think, too, in terms of, here we are in 2019. In 2019, just quickly, has stress levels increased, you think? No?
I think there's more stress.
To, yeah, 5 years ago.
Maybe I'm influenced because we're coming off of the holiday season with folks trying to do so much that's routine and then amp up for the holidays. Yeah. I think people spend more, and I think that's where some of that financial management training comes into play, or even the 7 habits, or just taking self-care and taking those few minutes to refresh yourself.
Well, we thank you. And in closing, the website is?
SpecialTree.com.
And Kate McLean and Michelle Cruz, we want to thank you both for coming in and just giving us some tips and some ideas about how to manage stress and having some health, I guess some health, self-care, right? Self-care.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank
make
you
it a great
so much.
Day. Absolutely. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say, in this cool January day. And yes, we're plowing through the dog days of winter now in January, but we want you to sit back and just enjoy the conversation. I really enjoy doing this every single week. And as you know, at this point in the show, I'd like to do my shout-outs. So our first shout-outs to AM 1270 for giving me this forum each and every single week to have this conversation with you. You might be sitting at your home and reading your free press, or just chilling out and reading your mobile technology here in the Motor City. Or you might be listening across the country, across one of our many .coms, WWJNewsRadio.com, LeeGroupInnovation.com, Radio.com, TheHubDetroit.com, and SoundCloud.com. So wherever you might be across the country, we want you to sit back and enjoy your local newspaper or whatever you're doing, reading your mobile technology with our very next guest. We have two very special guests here in the studio with us, Ms. Madeline Deshi and Tonya Aka. And Tonya is a referral marketing expert with Ascentive, and an area director for BNI, and she helps hundreds of people generate millions of dollars every year through a variety of networking strategies. So, Madeline, you own Mercy Massage.
Yes.
Right? Just briefly give us an overview of your business.
Thank you. So, we specialize in pain management, chronic pain, headaches, migraines. We have several therapists and two locations in Redford and Canton.
Okay. And Tonya, tell us briefly about your business as well.
Yes, so I am a business consultant, so I work with business owners, sales professionals, on how to develop strategic referral relationships. So most business owners know that their best clients come from referrals, and it's an amazing form of marketing. So I teach them how to get more and develop the right referral partner so that they can strategically and proactively get referrals and not just have them happen by chance.
And there's an organization called BNI.
Yes.
I had the opportunity of attending one session recently just to observe and see what it is. Kind of talk to our listeners, explain to our listeners what BNI is and kind of give us the foundational pieces of it.
Okay. Yeah, BNI, we're a worldwide organization, part of a larger organization, been around for 34 years, just celebrated our 34 year anniversary. Here in Michigan, we have about 120 chapters. The chapters are built of local professionals. So we have local business owners, local sales professionals who come together to build relationships and build those strategic referrals for one another. One of the things that differentiates us is we only allow one person per profession. So as Madeline had mentioned, she's a massage therapist, so in her chapter, she's the only massage therapist. We would only have one financial advisor. So it really gives us the opportunity to build deep relationships, so when those referral opportunities come up, we know exactly who we're going to pass referrals to.
Okay, so the objective is really to build your business through referrals?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yep.
And Madeline, share with us your story. You've attended the BNI meetings over the last several years. Kind of share with us your perspective or your story of how you got engaged and how it's helped you, because I know you have a family and you've really grown your business being engaged.
Sure, thank you. So I started doing massages out of my home for 7 years, raising five children, all a year and a half apart. And when I opened an office, my first move was to apply for membership with BNI. And through that, the growth has been tremendous. My husband was able to leave his job in my second year and be a full-time dad for our children. We grew up to five locations, which was tremendous growth for me. I probably needed a business coach. It was too much growth for me. So we're at two locations, which is perfect. The other thing is that they provide tons of training. So I can massage. I'm an expert in massage therapy, but I'm not such an expert in networking. At least I wasn't. And they provide the training, which is part of the membership, which is phenomenal. And then the last piece is that I was all alone, you know, working out of my home, just me. And now I have tremendous resources, business professionals that I trust, and I'm a resource for my clients.
Okay. And how long have you been going to the meetings?
Since 2009.
Okay. So I'm just curious, from a business standpoint, you don't have to give us your proprietary information, things like that. What type of growth have you experienced, let's just say, year over year on average?
I know that 25%, 24-ish percent of my business is from BNI referrals.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So it's
significant.
Directly coming from this organization, the people that you deal with and connect with. Tonya, so you do a lot of work with BNI and you're engaged with the program or with the organization. Talk to the listeners about what can they expect. What are some of the objectives and number of times they meet? Kind of talk to us about the particulars of it.
Okay. Yeah, we do have weekly meetings. So the chapters. So, for example, Madeline's chapter meets on Friday, so they meet every Friday morning with the exception of holidays, usually. The meetings are 90 minutes long, so we start at most of our chapters start at 7 a.m. and go till 8:30. It's a very structured agenda, so when they come in, they have some open networking. Everybody has the opportunity to introduce themselves and have an ask, so they get to ask for who they want a referral to. We also have what we call a spotlight presenter, a feature presenter. So in each chapter, each week a different member would have an opportunity to kind of showcase what they do, how they do it, what other type of referrals they're looking for. And then at the end of the meeting, my favorite part of the meeting is where I think the magic happens is what we call the I have portion. So it's where the members share the referrals and testimonials for their fellow members to help build that credibility and trust to hopefully get them more referrals, and then also to share the activity, hold people accountable to participating and engaging in that process.
You have a lot of networking organizations out there, though.
Yeah, lots.
Many. I mean, people, especially in a city like Detroit, the metropolitan area is a big city, big area. Mm-hmm. People have options.
Lots of options.
A lot of options. So but what makes B&I different?
Well, you know, part of what makes us successful is the structure. You know, I always ask members, you know, have you ever gone to a meeting without an agenda? Things don't tend to get accomplished when you don't have any type of structure or agenda. So I think our structure of the meetings help keep us focused and committed to helping one another grow their business. We do have a very strong list of core values. Mm-hmm. So we hold our members accountable to doing the right thing. And we also have code of ethics, and my favorite core value is traditions and innovations, because we do have that structure and that commitment, and we follow that same process of the meetings, but we also are always doing things to help our members get better, whether it's with some of the education pieces, like Madeline has said. You know, we have a worldwide access to the 300,000 members around the world. So there's a member here in Southfield, Linda Bader, who receives, you know, $50,000, $70,000 from referrals from somebody in Malta, a B&I member that she's never met from Malta, who passes her referrals just because of that commitment and passion that we have within B&I.
And Madeline, you're out of Livonia, is that right?
Yes.
So Western Burbs, essentially. And the question is, so in your space, in the Livonia location, what types of businesses are involved, people that you've dealt with over the years, this types of industry?
Okay, so in my business group,
yes.
So there's lots of tradespeople, mm-hmm. so a floor guy, electrician. We are looking for a plumber and a roofer. There's a real estate agent. We're looking for a mover. So
so it's a plethora of people,
yes,
experiences.
There's doctors. There's mm-hmm. attorneys, several different attorneys, each specializing in a particular field.
So you've been involved for several years, and Tonya's done a nice job of laying out the overview and the particulars of it. What's been the biggest value for you? What have you really enjoyed about it the most?
I like the relationships that I've built. So I love the growth in my business, which is why I go, but really the relationships are priceless.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tonya, so as you hear Madeline's story, is that a common theme? What are other people saying in terms of with respect to the value of it?
Yeah, and that's a very common theme. You know, our members join to get referrals and build their business. And when I talk to members about really what they're receiving, a lot of it's also the intangibles. It's the relationships that they have. It's having the support system. I just met with a CPA a couple days ago, and he said, you know, it's not the referrals that come in, even though the referrals are building his business. It's being able to be that trusted resources for all of his clients, which builds his loyalty with his clients. Because if he's got a client that needs new credit card processing, or maybe they're paying too much on their credit card processing, he's able to connect them with his trusted resource. Or if they're going through a divorce, he's got his trusted resources that he can refer them to. So he becomes a catch-all for his clients. Whenever they need something, they come to him, which builds his loyalty with them, and they don't leave because they need him.
And we know that people do business with people that they know.
Yep.
Like-minded people.
Yep.
We also know that certainly business is based on building relationships.
Yep.
And certainly, you know, one question I get a lot from people is, you know, I actually wrote a story about the power of the network in Cranes a while ago, and I've talked about it in various other forms of media, that the power of the network, you get 70 to 80% of your business through the network.
Mm-hmm.
70 to 80% of your jobs are found through the network.
Yep.
A lot of people say, well, can I go to the internet and submit a resume? You can do whatever you want to do. That's
yep.
your option. But in terms of networking, is a very powerful tool when people come together, in this case, on a weekly basis to talk to each other in a very structured environment. And I would have to think that structure really helps that networking event for that particular day as well.
Absolutely, it does. The structure helps what keeps it together. But you're absolutely right. Business owners get the majority of their business through their network, through word of mouth. You know, doing that traditional marketing is a marketing strategy, but we know that usually when people are referred, they usually buy faster. So the sales cycle and the closing percentage is higher. We also know that they typically buy more because they're going in with that trusting relationship. They don't have to evaluate, is it a good business or not, because they've already going in and buy trust. So it's a great way for people to do business.
And Madeline, I think you're kind of like the membership, I don't know, the ambassador, if you will. You invite people to attend. So people who will attend as a guest, what is their initial reaction after they've come to a meeting, generally speaking?
I think they're amazed at how much business gets passed every week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And as you think about people wanting to get involved in the organization, what are some of the key steps? What do they need to do to get engaged with the program? The organization.
Yeah, so first step is pick a chapter. So you can go to the BNI Michigan website, which is bni-mi.com, search a chapter in your hometown. So either where your chapter is, or where your company is, or where you live or work, because you're going to be more successful when you're in a chapter where you have a network.
Yeah.
So first is finding chapters in your local area, and then searching to see if they have an opening for your profession.
Yeah.
And then once you find a chapter, if there's a position open, go and visit and experience it and see if it's a good fit for you. And if it's not a good fit, that's okay. Work with, the chapter leaders. They can put you in contact with directors like myself to help you find a good fit. If there's not an opening, we have directors on our team to help people start chapters. So, for example, financial advisors, it's really difficult to find a financial advisor opening anywhere in the world. So they only come around very rarely. So in that case, we do help those individuals start their own chapters.
Well, I'm already up against the clock.
Wow. That went fast.
It went fast, but in closing, what is the website people get more information?
BNI-MI.com.
Yeah. And Madeline Dishi and Tonya Aka, we want to thank you very much for coming in and really sharing the information about BNI and another networking forum out there where people can come together and try to get business from each other as well. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Marcus. We brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus. We brought to you by Domino's. Yes, as you're getting ready for those playoffs today, Doak, it's okay to order that Domino's,
Oh, yeah.
They've been a great friend of ours for the last several years.
Exactly.
And I always order that product.
Excellent. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Good stuff for the football. Good pizzas and good everything at Domino's. We appreciate their support. All right, we're going to continue the conversation this morning with Ms. Lori Hill Sanders, and she's with the Disability Network of Wayne County, Detroit, which was founded in 2002 and with 5 employees at Wayne State University. And the Disability Network moved to the Samaritan Center in 2004 and has extended services to employ up to 20 employees. Lori, good morning, and thank you very much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Good morning.
So good. Now, you're the executive director, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So good to have you. Glad to have you here. Absolutely. Talk to us a little bit more in detail about the Disability Network.
Disability Network, we're a center for independent living, and there are 15 in the state of Michigan. There's about 500 of us throughout the United States, and our whole philosophy is providing services and resources and education for individuals with disabilities to enable them to live independently in the community.
Mm-hmm. So, point of clarification, I know I asked this question on the phone, I'm going to ask it again so we're totally clear.
Mm-hmm.
It is not an independent living facility.
No, it is not.
Okay, and you're not, and so you're really providing what? Information.
Information and services.
Gotcha. So let's just kind of walk through that, unpack it a little bit. Talk to the listeners of how they would engage or get information from you. So they have someone who might be considering putting someone in independent living and they're looking to get information. Kind of talk to us what that process is.
We offer information and referral, and that's when individuals can actually call our office and we provide them with information, referrals, and resources in regards to what their needs are. What we have to do is a lot of community outreach because we're not just in Detroit. We have to service individuals that are in Detroit as well as Wayne County. We have a population of probably about 28% of individuals that are disabled. Hmm. So our outreach, things that I'm doing right now, are very important so that people know that we exist, so that they know that we're there, and they know the services that we provide and the resources that are available so that we can empower them.
Yeah. You know, and as I was doing the research, I noticed that the number of adults with disabilities is projected to increase by 250,000.
Yes.
And that's certainly going from a 2.2 million to about 2.4 by 2030.
Yes.
And and there's a higher proportion of disabilities amongst females as opposed to men or males. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so therefore, the services that you're providing, there's an increase in demand for the services, I would think.
Yes, there is.
So when people are coming to you, what types of questions are they asking you?
People can come with a question as simple as, I'm disabled now. They may be wheelchair bound based on a car accident or some kind of sickness or injury, and they can't function in their home any longer. So they may need a ramp so that they're able to get in and out of their home via their wheelchair. They may need to have things retrofitted in their home so that they can have accessibility in their home to do the things that they need to do to function every day.
Hmm.
So that may be lowering kitchen cabinets. That may be putting brackets in the bathroom so that they're able to function. So that could be something that someone comes to us for. An individual with a disability may have the desire to work. We provide employment and training skills so that we can train them so that they're able to get back into the work community and that they can work. So those are some of the things that we do. Teaching them how to eat healthy. Teaching them, and if they need that advocacy, if they're having a difficult situation in an apartment that they may currently be living in, being an advocate for them, and then providing peer group and support, that's another additional service that we provide.
How does Detroit compare in the state of Michigan? I'm not going to have the right choice of words, so please forgive me. Are we disabled ready? How are we compared to other cities or other metropolitan areas? I mean, is this still a real significant challenge for people in a disabled population?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's challenges in terms of housing, finding affordable housing for them. There is challenges in terms of transportation so that people with disabilities are able to transit themselves and do the things that they need to do every day. So it's still a huge gap in between where we are and where we need to be in terms of providing the services for individuals with disabilities.
Have you seen an improvement from our state government in terms of trying to address and provide funding to help make certain facilities, whether in downtown Detroit or across the state of Michigan, or across the city of Detroit, more prepared to handle people with disabilities?
The only way that they're going to be prepared is if my network, there is a network of centers for independent living, is if we're able to educate them. Because if people don't know what the needs are, they don't know where they need to get in to help or to be an advocate for you. So the key thing is for my organization to do in Wayne County and Detroit is to educate our legislators so that they know what it is that they need to do and where they could be that resource for our organization.
It's a fascinating conversation. We're talking to Lori Hill Sanders. She's the executive director for the Disability Network Wayne County, Detroit. I want to continue that conversation for a second. This is very important. We have a new administration in Lansing, and obviously the mayor has been a mayor now for several years here in Detroit. So the question is, any plans to sit down with the governor and her staff or the key legislators here in Metro Detroit to just sit down and talk about this particular issue?
Absolutely. During the campaign, Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, he came over to our center a number of times, and we even the Disability Network, in collaboration with the Mental Health Authority, we had a legislative forum for individuals with disabilities to meet all of the candidates and address some of their concerns and their issues. So that was a great start. That initiated the conversation, that put the thought out there. So what we were actually doing during that forum is planting the seeds. So if these individuals were elected, we at least had a start where we could build and further those conversations.
Yeah, you know, and what I've noticed, and this is not a political show, this is a business show, but this is a this is an issue that affects so many people across our great city and great state. You know, one of the things I've noticed, it seems since she's been in office, she seems to have an open ear. I mean, she's listening to people. I know that she recently signed something recently as it relates to helping underserved businesses in Detroit and across the state of Michigan. So trying to give more business opportunities to businesses in urban areas and across the entire state, which is a good thing.
Right.
So my point in making that comment is the sense that I'm getting, though, with the new governor, her staff, is they're at least trying to listen. And this is such an issue, a significant issue that it needs to be elevated, the education and the awareness. And I'm glad to hear that you're beginning to try to get that message out.
Absolutely.
What can we do to help you?
Putting that word out. I think the visibility marketing is very important for us. A lot of people don't know that we exist. Prior to becoming the executive director, and I've been in the nonprofit arena for over 15 years, I did not know that the Disability Network addressed. So just pretty much putting that word out and letting them know what our mission and our vision is.
Yeah. Now, the headquarters are in the city?
Yes.
Where are you located?
We're at 5555 Connor Street. We're in the Samaritan Center, where it is just like a mecca of all kinds of nonprofits in that one center building.
Are you getting corporate support?
No. What our support right now is federal funding, but that is why I'm doing a lot of the things that I am doing so that I can build those relationships, because no, we're not getting corporate support.
What is it going to take to get that corporate support?
Me continuing to do it and having opportunities such as this.
So if you were talking to a corporate member, someone listening this morning, we have people listening, small, medium, and large organizations are represented. What would you like to say to them as it relates to corporate support potentially?
That there's definitely a need to continue to do what it is that we do for individuals with disabilities. And if they have that passion and they see that there is a way that they want to be a part of that mission, in the capacity of volunteers as well as funding, I'm more than happy to have a conversation, let them see what it is that we do, because people want to see you in action. They want to see you in motion. So our doors are always open for those opportunities to see what it is that we do for the community.
And the workforce should be open to all people.
Yes,
all
absolutely.
People. And you know, I'm sure that we all have exposure to someone in our circle of life,
right.
Friends, our circle of whatever, where people have been affected by disabilities.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, we're all God's people.
Right.
We're all people. And everyone has that right to certainly have the opportunity to demonstrate what they can do. Mm-hmm. And to your point, I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I was like you. I never heard of the organization. And this is enlightening for me to hear this. It's a distinct pleasure to sit here from across the studio with you to help you share this story, because it needs to be told. What other services? It looks like you have, like you said, you have youth services and peer support. Kind of talk to us briefly about the other services that you offer.
Information and referral is one of our primary. That's providing individuals with disabilities with information, and that is a key component, a core service.
Okay.
Community awareness, independent living skills, so that we can train individuals with disabilities so that they're able to live independently. Peer support services, benefit planning counseling, transportation services. So those are just a few of the services that we provide.
Okay. You know, and we have about a minute left together. I just, I think that this is very important. And if you have one closing comment to everyone listening, now is your chance to tell them whatever you want to share in 30 seconds or less.
If you are a disabled person residing in Wayne County and if you need to improve the quality of your life, then you need to contact the Disability Network.
Okay, and how could they contact you with a phone number and a website?
A telephone number, it's area code 313-923-1655, and our website is www.dnwayne.org.
Good. Lori Sanders, Lori Hill Sanders, thank you very much for coming in
and
sharing
you.
A very important story.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Absolutely. All right, Doak, you know, I'm going to sit back this afternoon and watch a little bit more playoff football and
exactly.
relax.
Exactly.
And don't have to worry about my Lions,
that's
right? I keep
right.
my blood pressure down.
Exactly.
Hey, man, you go out and make it a great day.
You the same, Mark.
Make it a great day. Make it a great week, everyone. We will check you out next week on Small Talk with Mark Esley. I want to thank all of our guests for coming in and sharing their stories today. And we will check you out next week on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.